Hello and welcome back to Main Bhi Gyandu, where I'll be sharing my gyan on Sanatan leadership. In our previous episode, we not only talked about a quick brief about the program, but also talked about the qualities of a leader by talking and looking into the instances from one of our Shastras, Ramayana. In this episode, we will explore and learn how to develop the leadership qualities in you by talking and looking into Mahabharata and Bhagavad Gita. Some of us like to do things ourselves, some like others to do things for them. However, a leader understands that to achieve a common goal, you need people with various skill sets. That's why a true leader believes in collective growth, success of others along with their own. For that, you need to hire the right person in the right place at the right time. A leader has to know the potential of every team member. And that's why you see true leaders sit down and talk without hierarchy in mind. Because that same leader has to evaluate every minister in each ministry based on merit, not politics or appeasement. The leader also develops a diverse team and shares responsibility, but takes over when required. In Mahabharata, Kauravas had 11 armies fighting, which were led by Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and Shalya. They had a centralized leadership with 11 commanders, and the command was passed on to others as and when these commanders fell in the battleground. On the other side, Pandavas had 7 armies with Arjuna as chief commander of the army, Lord Krishna as the counselor, and Drishtadyumna as the commander-in-chief of the 7 armies. Pandavas had diverse people in the team, and everyone went through a decision-making process and fought as one single team. A leader needs to work with foresight, and as a leader, you should not only know your team members but other teams as well. This allows you to extend your sight and take preemptive measures beforehand. Let's take an example. Sri Krishna, as the group leader of the Pandavas, had a clear vision that he used each and every quality of the Pandavas. Arjun was a well-trained archer. Bhim was good with mace and hand-to-hand combat. Yudhishthir was good with his sword. Another aspect of a good leader is that they align individual goals to company goals. Everyone wants more money, more designation, more power. The beauty lies where one connects all these small dots to help create that larger picture. Mahabharata example would be, Bhim had a personal goal to kill Duryodhan, and this personal goal was aligned for the larger organization goal to defeat the other army. Shikhandi had her own goal against Bhishma, and that was again used at the right time at the right place. Drishtadyumna was born to kill Drona, and he was used again for the same, at a time apt for the collective army goal of defeating the opponent and winning the war. In life, you would get moments of what can be known as peacetime. Obviously, the definition of peace is always different, and not what we all would wish for. But it's the time when you're not overwhelmingly occupied with your core work. As a leader, these are the moments you use to improve your skills and consistently learn. Ensure you polish your skills, or even better, learn new skills during that time. Taking a cue from Mahabharata, during exile, Pandavas polished their skills and learned new trades. Arjun learned and refined his archery skills. Every individual learned humility. Arjun from Lord Shiva, Bhim from Hanuman. Every individual goes through their own exile. A phase in life where you're forced to be away from your regular track. But these moments allow one to learn humility and helping them become better humans and better administrators. You cannot become a leader unless you take difficult decisions in the interest of the organization. Bhishma took vow of celibacy, despite knowing with this decision, his lineage won't go ahead. That was beneficial for the wider family, an organization for him, additionally ensuring the balance is maintained in the world. A true leader never shies away in seizing every single opportunity. And here exactly lies the difference between a manager and a leader. Mahabharata gives us two extremely skilled strategists and opportunists, Shri Krishna and Shakuni. Shakuni was a self-motivated individual who preferred mind games over warfare as his strength. He saw opportunity for selfish reasons at every instance. His selfish desire to destroy the Kaurav clan drove him along with everyone else to defeat. Shri Krishna was a strategist who analyzes scenarios very carefully before acting when an opportunity knocks the door. He believed in well-thought plans, kept secret weapons to use at the right time. He ensured all his plans were not only beneficial for the wider masses, but also focused on Satya and Dharma. Also, he ensured his team members' individual goals were aligned with the wider organization's goals. The major difference between the two were Shakuni acted on selfish revenge, his original selfish goal being the destruction of the Kaurav clan, whereas Shri Krishna acted on Satya and Dharma. He acted on righteousness and promoted others to do the same. Unless someone follows these two principles, they cannot have an ocean of knowledge in the name of Gita coming from them. Incomplete knowledge is dangerous, and we've had countless examples in our lives for that. The same was for Abhimanyu when he went into the Chakravyuh without knowing how to get out, leading to his death. The same way, we have to be aware of our limitations for knowing something. If we feel we don't know or even claim to know everything about a technology, some operational process, we should ask others' help. That way, you ensure inclusion and validation of that same knowledge with one stroke. Look for apparent strengths in weaknesses. We all have our weaknesses, or we know someone who is not at par with the rest of the group. But that does not mean you shun them away or discard them. We have to learn more about that person or even ourselves on how that apparent weakness, when compared with the rest of the group, can be utilized for the wider group's benefit. Shikhandi is our example from Mahabharata. Bhishma was known as the undefeatable. Everyone knew how strong he and his army would be with him on his side. But only Shri Krishna knew his team member, Shikhandi. Her backstory, being a transgender, Bhishma, who vowed not to fight against a woman, were used to defeat the undefeatable. Don't hide fire under the carpet. We all tend to run away from our mistakes, flaws or responsibilities, thinking or realizing what extra effort that is going to be, only to realize that it eventually comes back to bite. Karna was a family member of the Pandavas, but ended up hiding this fact. When he first was introduced in front of everyone, this fact ended up haunting all his life. Look for blessings in disguise. Aapada ko avsar mein badalna, which means convert adversity into opportunity. Arjun was cursed to become an Unch for 1 year, which was eventually utilized to hide from Kauravas in the last year of Vanvas. A leader should know their competition. Let's take an example. Kichak was a commander-in-chief of the Matsya kingdom under King Virat. During the Agyatvas, or the Vanvas, or the year of Incognito, Pandavas were hiding in the same kingdom. Kichak was a known harasser and ended up molesting Draupadi, who was in guise that time. Bhim, in his guise as well, ended up fighting Kichak, who had no idea about his opponent, and ended up getting killed by him. If only he had some idea. Learn when to stop. During the infamous gambling event, Yudhishthir was offered the opportunity to cut his losses at one point, but in sheer confidence and ego, he did not stop. We all have to realize sometimes it's best losing a bit and moving on. A leader should not hurt sentiments even unknowingly. Draupadi laughed at Duryodhan when he fell into a pool. That was one of the main reasons to trigger a war. Beware of what you say and react as a leader. Good friends can turn into dangerous foes. Dronacharya and Drupad were good friends, but after Drupad became a king, he forgot the friendship and insulted Dronacharya. This led to their mutual hatred, and eventually Dronacharya ended up defeating and dethroning Drupad with the help of Pandavas. Quality is more important than quantity. Arjun asked for Sri Krishna's guidance as quality. Duryodhan asked for Sri Krishna's army as quantity. Keep your eyes on the goal. Arjun's famous Machli Ki Aankh, the eye of the fish. While going through the Swayambar of Draupadi, he was the only one who kept laser focus on his goal. A leader has to always keep that in mind and constantly work towards it. Planning, making framework or blueprint of the task. In spite of having an army of 100, the Kauravas lost the war, but even after having just 5 people in the group, the Pandavas won. Reason being, planning skill by the group leader. Exact and accurate planning of work can lead you to the success path very smoothly. Time management is also important for a leader. Both parties in the war had rules of engagement to start and end the war at a certain time, for which a bugle would be sounded. Staffing. We talked about it, appointing the right person at the right time. Transforming individual goals to company goals by knowing the worth of your team member. The biggest failure of Kauravas in Mahabharata was they fought with different goals compared to the super united Pandavas, who had a single goal and hence could reach the target easily and won the battle. A leader should always give a clear vision of the goal to their members for the accomplishment. In moments of crisis, a leader should focus on competency and quality. A leader should also be well informed. The fight between Jarasandh and Bhim is a good example here. Both were powerful fighters, and during their hand-to-hand fight, Jarasandh would still have the upper hand due to a blessing he had from a god. That even if his body would be split, the body would join back and he would be alive to fight back again. However, Sri Krishna was well informed of this blessing and found a loophole, informing Bhim to split his body and throw each in opposite direction. A well-informed decision can only be taken if you are a learner all the time. A leader should be open to learn new things, keep themselves updated. This approach allows them to be flexible, pragmatic, and willingness to change and adapt. Want to hear another example? Out of the many names given to Sri Krishna, there is one known as Ran Chhod. Ran in Hindi means battlefield. Chhod means leave. The story of how Sri Krishna left the battlefield while fighting Kalyavan, creating a false image, only to lure him into a cave. Now Sri Krishna was well aware of a boon Kalyavan had, that he would not be killed by anyone from the clan Sri Krishna belonged to. However, he also had an extra but crucial information that another king from another era was sleeping in a cave nearby, who also had a different boon that anyone who disturbs him from his sleep shall be burned. And that's what a good leader does. Join the dots, gets the most out of the least that they have at the moment. Motivational skills. What more motivation would anyone need if the entire Bhagavad Gita would be recited to you? Sri Krishna's motivation to Arjun was multi-layered, a concoction of guidance, inspiration, determination, and counseling. Forget your desires, focus on karma. Getting into Bhagavad Gita is equivalent of an entire realm altogether. So I will join my hands with utmost respect simply to the name and leave everyone to create their own journey to learn more about Gita. Goal orientation. Sri Krishna's life goals were simple and clear. Paritranaya sadhunam. Deliver the pious, welfare for good. Vinashaya cha duskritam. Annihilate the miscreants, destroy evil. Dharma samsthapanarthaya. Re-establish the good principles. If we want to, we can create a list of Sri Krishna's leadership competencies. Let's go through them together. First, friendly approach to all. Accessible to all. Listening to the inner voice. Perseverance. Long-term goals. Sharing the learning. Open and timely communication in a transparent way. Determination. Curiosity to learn new things. Self-control. And that comes with patience, which we've talked in the Ramayana episode. The next point would be positivity. Sense of gratitude. Resilience. Social intelligence. Agility and adaptability. Compassion. Calmness and confidence. Motivating, coaching and counseling. Leaders should embrace challenges instead of avoiding them, as it brings out their greatest strengths. All of us know we wouldn't know our strengths until we come across a tough situation. You only become a leader when you are resilient in your actions and not be weakened by pain and pleasure. Like I said in the previous episode, selfish desire and animosity obscure the purpose of leadership, and true leadership is always selfless. You want to achieve lasting power and glory, and a long-lasting one happens only by expressing compassion and selfless service. If you're not swayed by selfish desires or animosity, you will not be led by fear or anger as well. And effective governance and leadership happens only after that. Karm karo, fal ki chinta mat karo is nothing but this. In the Ramayana episode, we talked about character, which is core to effective leadership. Leaders also need to be aware of self and surroundings, not just what you are working on. Let's talk about another list of items leaders should do. Renounce negative thoughts, words, and actions. Renounce inequality and promote equality, action and skill-based equality. Renounce selfish desires and exercise selfless service. Renounce indiscipline, dishonesty, lazy attitude, exercise integrity and proactiveness. Renounce arrogance and ignorance. Be open-minded. Renounce monetary happiness and seek happiness which is long-lasting and beneficial to all. You've heard the word renounce so much, I'm sure you'd be getting bored of it. But the reason the course mentions this word many times is because the definition of renunciation according to Bhagavad Gita is that leaders must practice selfless giving and strive for common goal. Let's connect all of these points we've heard till now with the Ramayana episode. Effectiveness is doing the right thing, a sign of a transformational leader. Efficiency is doing things right, a sign of a transactional leader. Leaders also need to either create from scratch or amend a work culture around them. Effective work culture is about vigorous and arduous efforts. What does Sri Krishna talk about this? From his perspective, there are two types of work culture. Daivi Sampat, Asuri Sampat. Daivi Sampat work culture involves fearlessness, purity, self-control, sacrifice, straightforwardness, calmness, absence of fault-finding, absence of greed, gentleness, modesty, absence of envy and pride. Asuri Sampat work culture involves egoism, delusion, personal desires, improper performance, work not oriented towards service. Now, when you follow Daivi Sampat work culture, which means positive work culture, you also create an optimum work result. Not in the form of rewards, because Gita explains theory of detachment from extrinsic rewards. If results of sincere effort is a success, the entire credit should be shared and not appropriated by the doer alone. If the result of sincere effort is failure, then too the blame should not accrue on the doer alone. Internal constancy and peace are prerequisite for a healthy, stress-free mind. Impediments to sound mental health are greed, regarding power, position, prestige, and money, envy of others' achievements, success, rewards, egoism about one's own accomplishments, suspicion, anger, and frustration, anguish through comparison. True leaders need to practice what they preach. Sri Krishna mentions in the Gita, whatever the excellent and the best ones do, the commoners will follow. The visionary leader must be a missionary, extremely practical, intensively dynamic, and capable of translating dreams into reality. This dynamism and strength of a true leader flows from an inspired and spontaneous motivation to help others. I hope all of these perspectives of leadership from Mahabharata help you understand how much our Shastras can assist and guide us during the toughest times in our lives. We have understood the teachings of leadership on how to develop it. In the coming episodes, I'll try explaining the teachings from Chanakya Niti on how to use the leadership skills and where to use it. Also, I'll be talking about the Shastra session of the Sanatan Leadership Program. I hope this is enough gyan for this episode. Thank you so much, and I will meet you later.